when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, wherever you are, whether it's morning, evening, or noon, it doesn't matter the time of the day. Wherever you are, someplace in this world, we'll have people listening to Blood River Radio all over the globe. When we get messages, not a whole lot, but we get them sometimes. Anyway, I just said we're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. That nickname was given me by a fellow when I used to be with the political cesspool a long time ago. Yes, Winston Smith. Winston Smith was the one that gave me that nickname. He gave nicknames to everybody on our show. But anyway, you're listening to, like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, listening to Blood River Radio. We're proudly syndicated worldwide, all over creation, by Liberty News Radio. Sam Bushman, Jay, and Miss Lizzie. We couldn't do this without them. That's who carries us. And just in case you're listening, wondering what the date is, it's August the 2nd of your our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2025. There is no name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. People are going to tell you about, we always go to a prayer, because this is a Christian radio program, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit personal stuff. My faith, I've been praying for my faith to be increased because it was getting pretty low, and it has come up. But I can tell you, people, without any reservations at all, with 100% certainty, that there is a God. The God is spoken of in the King James Version of the Bible. That's what I read. I rely on King James. There is a God, and there is a blessed Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and there is a Jesus, and Jesus Christ is the only way. I'm going to tell you right out flat, people, this is kind of a halfway prayer or something. It doesn't matter. Trump and the Russians are threatening nuclear war. That's my greatest fear for mankind. But you know what? Nuclear war is not our greatest threat. Your greatest threat is going to hell when you die. You know what? We could be blown up at any time. You could die at any time in a second. I've had some experiences like that recently. For instance, this past Monday night, I thought, well, I might be out of here. But I'm not, because I did a 9-mile run with the St. Jude Heroes today. But the point I'm making is there is a Jesus Christ. And you need to get right with Jesus Christ Almighty while you can. And I'm just going to let that suffice as our prayer, because we always do go to a prayer. But, I'll just say a quick prayer. I'm not that organized. So if you would, people, bow your heads. Almighty Father, thank you so much for letting me survive that 9-mile run this morning after I was in the emergency room Monday night. Let that be a testimony to your glory, O God, how you can resurrect people from almost the dead. Lord, I would ask you to continue to bless Blood River Radio, to bless Liberty News Radio, and bless especially little Lizzie, who she just went into. She had an event, and I'd like you to bless that event, if you will. Bless her. She'll be here, God willing, long after I'm gone. Bless her. Bless Sam, bless Jay, bless everybody in our listening audience. If you will, Lord, help somebody who's suffering with bad faith, with low faith, help them come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, this very day. If you will, Lord, never let us shrink from fighting our enemy, Satan the devil, in this earth. As this is Jesus' name, amen. People, we announce the donors. Without donors, we couldn't have Blood River Radio. It's that simple. And this week, we had one of my dearest friends in the world, Miss Buddy. She was married to Mr. Buddy, who we all loved and respect. Everybody that knew him loved him and respect him. And Miss Buddy is the sweetest lady. If there's a sweeter lady on the earth, I'd like to know who it is. We also had Harold of Jonesboro, Arkansas. He sends nice letters, and he also sent a nice donation. So I'd like to thank them very, very much. And also, I'll give you a little outline. We're going to have Paul Fromm. Everybody in his mama knows Paul Fromm. He needs no introduction. We're so lucky. We're so fortunate. We're all fortunate to have Paul Fromm on. He's going to continue in German history. And also, hopefully, we'll have a lady as his guest that Paul's brought this guest on. Her name is Karen Mannion, and she is going to give you an experience. She certainly is. And, what she went through in World War II. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let Paul announce it to you. That's what we're doing this in the second hour. We'll bring Don Wassel and Will Franklin coming in, and we're going to be covering the most dangerous threats to mankind, to white people worldwide. As you know, with that statement, every program we have is designed to fight against global white genocide. Third hour, the Bill Ender's back this week. He's been gone. He's been out for 2 weeks. He's back with Confederate history. Also, Monica Schaefer. I talked to Monica Schaefer today. She's going to be out. She can come back the 16th, but we're probably going to be doing the Battle of Charlottesville honorary thing there. And also, before we go, we just got a hello from Pam and Dennis, who live in Virginia. They're in Paris, and they're leaving from Paris. They're getting on a cruise, and they're going all the way up to the Arctic Circle, but they just said hello. And I'll send them a text message back later. Anyway, that's it. I hope I hadn't forgotten anything. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Paul, how are you doing there today, brother? You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, it's a weird day. I must have got the date wrong because I got up to the rally and it wasn't on. But anyway, a nice drive in the country, and I'm eager to talk to my guest tonight. Here on the German Hour on Blood River Radio, she is a Holocaust survivor. But not that type of Holocaust. So I'd like to introduce Karen Mannion. I've known her for nearly 40 years. She is a refugee from communism, from Germany. She came to Canada as a young girl. She's a proud German, proud Canadian. She had a long career in various German organizations in Canada, and she has an absolutely unique personal story, which I think we'd like to share with the listeners tonight.
Yes, sir, and I'm very anxious to have this lady on. Miss Karen, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'd like to welcome you to Blood River Radio. It's an honor to have you on. I'm very excited to have you on. We're extremely fortunate to have you on to give your story about true history. This is the German history series we're doing with Paul, and you're bringing an episode of German history that hardly anybody has ever heard of. In fact, I just heard it a short time maybe a year ago myself, from either Paul or Monica or both. But we have about a minute before we go to a break. But go ahead, Miss Karen, before we go to a break, tell us if I'm pronouncing your name right, and also just introduce yourself, and the rest of the 45 minutes of the show after we go to the break is going to be all you and Paul. But go ahead, tell us who you are. Miss Karen? Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. Well, I gave our producer the phone number late, And so we'll get her up. It's no big deal because we had to do the first segment. We had to do all this other housekeeping story anyway. Housekeeping chores. People, we'll be going to a break in just a minute. So we'll have Miss Karen come up. We'll introduce her on the second segment after this commercial coming up here. I used to have a clock on my computer that told me to the minute, but I don't know what happened to it. Sam and his son-in-law sent it to me. But anyway, Paul, with a few seconds we have left, go ahead and there's the music. There's the commercial. People, please don't go anywhere. This is going to be a short break, a couple of minutes. When we come back, hopefully we'll have Miss Karen Mannion. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Dear Blood Red Radio family, thank you so much. Pardon me for not hearing the the cue. Anyway, we have, as promised earlier, we have Miss Karen Mannion, and she has a great story for all you people. We have a lot of people that really anxiously waited this German history series that we started now. I think this is about a month we've been doing it. But as promised, we have a super incredible guest on. And with that, I'm going to shut up. Paul Fromm is the one that brought this guest on. Paul Fromm is the one taking us in history. Paul Fromm is of German. He's a Canadian, but he's of German descent. So he knows all about this German history. So is this lady. So, Paul, with that, I'm going to shut up. Please introduce Miss Karen Mannion for us, Paul.
Yeah, it's great we finally made the connection. Karen is a Karen's a longtime friend, and I had introduced you before the break, before we made the connection, as a Holocaust survivor, but not that Holocaust. So,
well, Paul, I call myself that. Too.
Well, I know that we are just bringing out a booklet of your life story as a refugee from Germany, and so many fascinating things. So, could we get into a little bit of your history? Where did you come from in Germany, and how are you a Holocaust survivor?
All right. I'll do my best. When the war was in full swing, and I was born in Berlin, and when the war was in full swing, after a while, Hitler called his people to leave the city because they were expecting bombs galore, and so they asked people to leave and go stay with whoever relatives or wherever they could find a place to stay until the big bomb fall was over. So my relatives lived in East Prussia, which was a province of Germany. It was the most easterly province, and the on the border of Russia. So we vacationed there, and whenever possible. East Prussia was a land of mostly farmers. And of course, I loved going to see the animals and so on. So that's where we went. Of course, at that particular time, suddenly we find out that the big three, as I call them, Stalin, Churchill, and what's his name there?
The Roosevelt. U.S.
Roosevelt, yes. The three of them had decided at a conference that Germany should be given away to Russia. Germany is so bad, they cut away 1/3 of the country. So Germany was given to Russia and Poland, and all the people who lived there at the time were told to fly a kite, so to speak. They gave them a choice, either to have a vacation in Siberia, get shot, or just run away. So we had no choice. It was hard to do, hard to think of what to do. But we packed our things and tried to get away from what appeared to be happening, because there were bombs going off nearby. And we were frightened. So off the family went. It was my grandmother and myself, and grandma also had a young boy who she was looked after. His mother was working. And of course, my mom and off we went on foot. There was no transportation possible at the time. It had all been destroyed or just taken out of circulation. And we find that suddenly the streets, highways, and everything was full of military personnel, Russian personnel. We were on foot, and they were in their tanks behind us. And, of course, they forced us off the road. And we ended up in the frozen Baltic Bay, which is a watering place that runs next to the Baltic Sea. And it was frozen. Of course, the Baltic Sea was an ocean, and it didn't freeze, but the bay froze. So here we were.
What was the name of that bay?
Well, I call it the Baltic Bay. It likely is not. It likely doesn't have that bay. I said it was either a Baltic Bay or a canal. Couldn't have been a canal. So and that's the way I was so young, I don't really have all the facts, you know. So here we were, many people. There were hundreds of us, and some horse and buggy. They're from the farmers, and along we went, and suddenly, terror after terror, Russian planes were up above us, shooting down on us refugees. and we were only women and children. There were no men. They were in, soldiers in the army. So, of course, needless to say, many of them drowned. The ice broke, and people drowned. And I will never forget the screaming from the people and the horses as they were sinking into the icy waters. The young boy, my grandmother was looking after, kept saying, Grandma, pray, Grandma. He was so afraid, and of course, so was I. I could see all these people sinking into the ice, and the Russians shooting up from up above. There were many, many planes. But eventually, I guess the good Lord must have heard our prayers, because we did end up in the harbor town of, there were two of them, Gdynia, and Danzig was the German name of another one. And we ended up there, and my mom had purchased tickets for a boat in that area. You see, all the ships in the harbor were assigned to remove the refugees as fast as possible and as safely as they could. So we were lucky. We had tickets for a very beautiful vacation ship. It was sumptuous. It was very nice. So we went up onto the ship, and lo and behold, horror upon horrors, all of a sudden we're told my grandmother is not allowed to board the ship. We have to separate. So, of course, we were shocked. But then my grandma said, to my mom, she said, go, you and the children, stay on the boat and change yourself, and I will stay here. And my mother said, well, Mom, we've been together on this whole flight across the Baltic Bay. We will not separate now. So she turned around and she gave away the tickets. And we left the ship. And as we left it, my mom tried to find another way to get out of the harbor. And we, in a short time at all, we found another ship. It was an open freighter, and they took us on. And my goodness, that took about between 2 or 3 days. And suddenly we got the news that the ship that we were supposed to go on, for which we gave away the tickets, has been shot. They got they were shot with I think they called them torpedoes by a Russian ship, and five shots took out the Wilhelmslust, which in no time sank. Very quickly it sank. There were more than a thousand people on board. As a matter of fact, they had emptied all the swimming pools, so they would have more room to put the refugees into. So anyway, the Gustav sank. It didn't take very long. Over 1,000 people drowned, and some were saved, because a little boat from nearby came along.
Ms. Karen, we have to go to a break. We have to go to a commercial break.
Swimming in the water.
And Ms. Karen, we have to go to a commercial break. Hold that thought. We'll come right back to you right after this commercial break.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. It is a very weak jobs report, not playing well at the White House. Here's Washington correspondent Bill Alexander.
President Donald Trump on Friday ordered the firing of the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, hours after a government report showed that hiring had slowed down significantly over the past 3 months. The Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday morning reported that the U.S. economy added just 73,000 jobs in July. It also said it had revised the May and June numbers, and they turned out to be lower than previously announced by more than 200,000 jobs. Donald Trump said the numbers were rigged to make him and Republicans look bad. Bill Alexander, Washington.
President Trump has ordered the repositioning of two nuclear submarines. That decision comes after what Mr. Trump calls, quote, highly provocative statements by former Russian official Dmitry Medvedev. Now, the two have feuded online in recent days, and that move potentially escalates tensions between Moscow and Washington. Also at townhall.com, GOP strategist Aaron McGuire says it is far too soon to tell who will be selected to carry the Republican Party forward when President Trump's second term comes to a close in 2028.
I anticipate a big primary because, unlike Democrats, Republicans don't anoint anybody to the presidential opportunity to run on the ticket. Republicans won't behave like Democrats and coordinate anybody to be the presidential nominee.
Aviation experts say night vision goggles may have created difficulties for the pilots on that Army chopper that collided with a passenger jet in January. They say the goggles would have made it, quote, extremely difficult for the pilots to see the plane's multicolored lights. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all know the importance of good daily habits, whether it's getting outside, getting your steps in, stretching those limbs, or eating right. Doing it on the regular is key. That's why if you're dealing with everyday aches and pains, it's time to bring Relief Factor into your life. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF and get their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Relief Factor is the daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors, it uses a special formula of four natural ingredients. Relief Factor doesn't just mask the pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is to get your days going without any pain. See if we can get you out of pain by taking their three-week quick start. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Simply call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, wherever you're having pain, neck, shoulders, hips, knees. Don't let it keep you from living the life you want to live. Make Relief Factor part of your daily routine. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Hey, Blood River Radio family, this is a very solemn broadcast because you're witnessing a living person who lived through the history. The Wilhelm Gustloff, it just dwarfed the number of lives lost in the Titanic. Not to minimize those lost in the Titanic, the lives lost, but it just shows you the blatant hatred towards the German people and really basically toward white people internationally right now. But anyway, Paul is going to ask some very pointed, hard questions for the so-called allies to answer before the show's over, so before the broadcast's over. Anyway, I'm going to go back to Paul right now, and he's going to bring in Miss Karen Mannion back here. So go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, the sinking of the Wilhelm Gustloff was a war crime, and the greatest maritime tragedy, as far as we know, in human history. I think the Titanic was about 1400, and we've all heard about that, and there were movies made about it, and so on. But the Gustloff was probably 9,000 people perished, and it was a passenger ship. It was not a warship. And the Russian submarine commander who torpedoed it knew that, and not long before the Soviet Union fell, he was awarded the order, I think, of the Soviet Union. So, I mean, he was honored.
The hero of Russia.
Hero, yeah. So where were you heading, Karen? You left East Prussia. And we were trying to get away from the Russian army.
We were on this open freighter, and they dropped us off. They could drop us off wherever they could land. So we ended up in Denmark. But you know, I would like to mention something I forgot about before. Maybe I should bring it up here. About the torpedoing of the Gustloff, the captain's name was Marinesco. And like you said, they gave him an award after the war for being a hero of Russia. A little bit about the Gustloff I should have mentioned before. It was originally a military ship, and later on, it served as a medical transport for injured soldiers. And then suddenly, they decided to turn it into a boat. It was revamped totally, and it became a very attractive boat for vacations for the German people, because Adolf Hitler had decided that the German worker should have a vacation at least once a year, and it should be a vacation not too expensive. So this Gustloff was meant for that. The people could use it as a vacation ship. Then later on, the ship was named. It didn't have a name until that time. Then the ship was named Wilhelm Gustloff, and it was named after, let's put it this way, Wilhelm Gustloff was a politician. He was in Davos, Switzerland, and he was assassinated on February the 4th, 1936. He was assassinated by David Frankfurter. And David Frankfurter was a Jewish student, and he was motivated by his opposition to the Nazi Party and Wilhelm Gustloff's role as its Swiss leader. So he shot him 5 times, and after his arrest, he confessed to the killing of Gustloff, and the assassination itself took place in Wilhelm Gustloff's home. where Frankfurter had gained access under the guise of a visitor. His wife was present, and anyway, he confessed to the killing, and not much sense talking further about it. But in Germany, they decided, because Wilhelm Ristorf was a politician and well known, they decided to name this ship Wilhelm Ristorf from there on. And anyway, I'll get back to us in Denmark. We ended up in Denmark in a refugee camp. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We hear you loud and clear. Yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay, good. Well, the refugee camp was very simple. It had running. We had running water, We had no running water, but hydro, and outside toilets. And we were in eight people to one room, and there was a kitchen. They fed us, but the food was just enough to keep us alive. It was not very palatable, but we were fed. And it was, like I said, it was very, very cold that winter. And in the winter time, the snow was coming through the openings in the wooden barracks. So it was not very pleasant. They never fed us any meat. Just simple things, watery soups. One day, us children left the camp. It was fenced in, but there was a guard at the doors of the camp, and we could go out. And we were we never met any Danish people. We were away from everybody. We were out in the country somewhere in a wooded area. So when we children wanted to go out and play, and we left the camp and we went into the woods to play. And all of a sudden, I spotted a sort of a little hill. And I decided to climb up on the hill. And my goodness, all of a sudden, I was sinking into something soft. And I pulled up my leg. And here I was covered with a stinky, gooey mess. And, well, I went home, and I was afraid to go home because my mom said, "Don't you come home dirty," because we had no soap. It was difficult to keep us children clean. Well, anyway, went to the home to the camp, and my mother said, "What happened to you?" And I showed her, and mom grabbed me and took me off to the office at the camp. And insisted to know what this was all about. She grabbed a few men along the way, and off they went with shovels. And I had to show them where this mishap had taken place. And came to the woods, and I showed them. And here what they found was rotten meat. It had been it wasn't given to us in our rations. It was put it into the ground for the animals or whatever, so that we wouldn't have any proper food to eat. And that was very nice one, must say.
So was that food dumped intentionally?
Oh, other things were that we could talk about was...
Ms. Karen, was that food...
We had...
Was that food intentionally supposed to come to you, Ms. Karen?
They were not soldiers.
So that was done intentionally, Karen? The Danes denied the people and the Germans in the camp the food. They just buried the meat.
Paul, I'm losing you, Paul. Are you near enough? I'm losing you. I can barely hear you.
Miss Karen, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Miss Karen?
Are you there?
We can hear.
Lizzie, you must not be able to hear me.
It's, I can lose you.
Yeah.
Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Hello? Yes, I'm here. Yeah, we're just asking you, the Danes had deliberately kept the meat away from the Germans and the German people in the camp and just buried it.
Yes, there was the meat, and we found
out. We'll have to cover that when we come back after this break. We have one more break, Miss Karen, and we'll come right back to you as soon as this last break of this hour. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats for doing German history.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Thank you so much, dear Blood River Radio family. I'd like to say once more that Pam and Dennis Adams, they're on their cruise. They're in Paris, and they reminded me to say hello. And they're thinking of you, and they're thinking of Blood River Radio. I think that's really nice. I just passed that message on. They sent that message from Paris, France, and they're getting ready to board their cruise ship before too long. Anyway, so Paul, if you will, take us back, and we can go right back to Miss Karen. We'll make sure, when she goes on, make sure we ask those questions that need to be answered about our glorious allies and how wonderful they treated, how kind they were to these civilians.
Yes. Karen, you were talking about when your mother and the others went out and examined what it is you'd stepped in. It was a huge pile of meat. And so you concluded that the Danes had simply kept that away from you, and rather than giving it to the Germans, just let it rot. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. I should also mention that this meat had been donated by the country of Sweden. And they were very, very much in favor of the German people, so they attempted to send us care packages. Of course, we never saw any of that. And later on, we happened to find out that we were given 1,200 calories a day, just enough to keep us from starving.
God, that's, that's starvation. Yeah. That's starvation level.
Yeah. Yeah, I was when we were in the refugee camp, my brother was born in the camp. He was born the end of January 45. And when he was born, he had kind of odd. He had a very large head, and he had developed a sickness called rickets. It's the sickness of malnutrition. But he, as it turned out, he was lucky, and he stayed alive. And after we left that camp, he was healthy enough to go home with us. But he was sick, and of course that happened to a lot of young children. A lot of them died there, and most of it was the fault of malnutrition. We were not able to leave the camp to go home, to go to our previous homes, because Germany was totally damaged. There was no place for them to live. So they insisted that all these people stayed in the camps until they could prove that they had a place to go to. So my dad had, in the meantime, been released from, he was in Russian prison, but they released him rather quickly at the end of the war. And Dad tried to find out where we were, because nobody knew where the relatives were. Men were soldiers at war, and the others were in camps, or they were dead. So Dad tried to find out where we were, and found out that we were in this particular camp in Denmark. He then proceeded to request our coming home, and it was denied. It was denied because he had to prove first that we had a place to stay, to sleep, to eat. So we were lucky. Our house was a little bit out of the city, on the outskirts, and it was not bombed. It was still standing, so we were able to we were renting it from someone, and it was a newly built home, and we lived upstairs, and we went there and moved into that home. So we were very lucky. Most people were not so lucky. When we could prove that we had a place to stay, we were able to get home, which was Berlin. For train, we came home and moved into that house. And as it turned out, from there, after 5 years, I think, we took off to Canada. There were signs, like placards and billboards all over the place in Berlin. Come to Canada, the land of the future. I guess the Canadians were looking for for people, to technicians, you know.
Miss Carey, I'd like to ask you a question, if you don't mind, before we run out of time. Were you treated, this is a two-part question, how overall, what kind of treatment were you given by the Allies and by the Danes? Were they pretty aggressive to you, mean to you? Go ahead. I'll ask the second part in just a second. Go ahead. Go ahead, Miss Carey.
Yeah, well, they ignored us. That's the best way I could put it. I mean, we had to basically look after ourselves the first year or so. I remember going out with my mother. We were picking weeds and making salad from these weeds on the lawns.
Wow, making salad.
So it was very, very, very difficult, but we managed to stay alive. And I remember we were going to the doctor very often because we developed abscesses. And I understand that's also a site of malnutrition.
Yes.
But we were basically ignored until a few years later. And by that time, Germany had rebuilt a lot of the city, and they sort of looked after themselves without much help.
Miss Carol, I have one more question.
That's all I could say.
I have just one more question. Now, have the people that were on the Wilhelm Gustloff, has the Russian government, the British government, the American government, the Allies, the Russians, have they ever reached out in any way to make an apology for what they did to the Wilhelm Gustloff for the mass slaughter?
You have to be kidding. It's a very good question. But remember, we were the bad people. We were the enemies. So I guess an apology was not necessary.
That's not because you weren't part of the Chosenites. Go ahead, Paul.
And Karen, just before we end up, there were 16 million of you Germans Eastern part, ethnically cleansed. And if I read the history books right, 3 million perished. Now, you were kicked out of your homeland.
Yeah, I would like to add something to that, Paul. My knowledge is 17 million, okay? And they were not in East Prussia, West Prussia, Pomerania, Silesia, and to Sudetenland. They were all these little countries with German heritage. It was not only East Prussia, but that was the whole province of East Prussia. And you said it very nicely. They were ethnically cleansed.
And, did you ever get any reparations for the property your family lost or for being expelled? Did you ever get any reparations from anybody?
We got nothing. We got nothing. There were some people that did apparently got small reparations, but we got nothing. I guess they were, the bad Germans, they didn't deserve it, I guess. So, when we came to Canada, that was another new life.
Right.
Yeah, we started.
Many years later, in the early 90s, after the, you got to go back to East Prussia and visit it with friends of yours.
Oh my gosh!
What did you notice? What did you notice when you got back there?
Oh my gosh, it was a dream of mine to revisit my home. It was my home, and of course, until that time, nobody was allowed. Well, at least none of the Germans were allowed into Russia, and suddenly the Iron Curtain came down in 1989. There was nothing we wanted to do better than visiting there.
Well, Miss Karen, we've run completely out of time. I would love to get you back on, you and Paul back on again as soon as possible. But I would like to thank you very much. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on. You've been a wonderful addition to German history. You're a wonderful addition to the human race, a wonderful addition and an honor to the German people. I would like to thank you again. I'd like to ask you to please come back on Blood River Radio again as soon as possible. And thank you so much, Paul, for arranging this this interview. And thank you, Blood River Radio audience and family members. Thank you so much. We're going to transition out to the second hour. We're going to bring on Don Marshall.
Thank you.
and Real Franklin.
Over it.